and the what power is God's grace? Think about that question for a minute. What is God's grace? Is it His love for us as believers? Is it His love for all of creation? Is it His compassion? Is it the strength He gives us when we need it? Is it the comfort He gives us when we need that? Is it the peace He gives us when we are in need of peace? Or is it the friendship we have with Him? Or is it bigger than that? Is it the whole relationship we experience with Him? What about the words He gives us to speak? What about the guidance He gives us to decide? The answer is yes. It's that. And so much more. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. But today we're going to see what God says in 1 Peter about how should suffering believers live? By using their God-given gifts to serve others. Our text for today is in 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. The Bible's in front of you with ribbons, should already be marked. The others should be on page 1077. Before diving into the text, I want to start with a little context by reading Peter's greeting in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So Peter starts off his epistle, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those chosen, living as exiles, dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you." So Peter starts off, "to those chosen." So Peter's writing to believers. Then he says, "exiled and dispersed abroad." So he's writing to individuals. He's not writing to a congregation. He's writing to individuals. So believers and individuals. "Chosen to be obedient." So once they chose to follow God, or once they chose to follow Jesus Christ, they now have been chosen to be obedient to God. Now for the text today, 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 1. Read along with me. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding. Because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the Gentiles choose to do, carrying on in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you." Stopping there for a second. So Jesus suffered in the flesh when He took on our sins and died on the cross. We are called to suffer also in the flesh in order to live for God's will. Part of that suffering is the suffering that we do with sin. We still suffer with sin, even though He has forgiven us of our sins and even though we have accepted Him, we still suffer with sin. But part of that suffering is actually because we're believers. Peter mentions here that non-believers cannot comprehend our beliefs, and they slander us. That really is human nature. Let me give you an example of that. If man does not understand something, he criticizes it, he ridicules it, and he makes fun of it. I'm guilty of this. Vegetarians. I don't get it. So I poke fun at them. It's a concept I don't get. How should suffering believers live? By using God-given gifts to serve others. We'll continue in the text, reading the next two verses. Verse 5. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards. In verse 5, Peter reminds his readers and us that judgment will come for all. In verse 6, Peter points out another way that non-believers do not comprehend Christianity. The world judges Christians, the world judges everything in the fleshly realm. So when the world looks at Christians, they see humans who live and who die. When they look at non-Christians, they see humans that live and die. So the world uses the death of Christians in the fleshly realm as proof that there's not a difference, because they do not understand. However, that is because they judge in the fleshly realm. And just as Christ lives on, we too, as believers, have everlasting life in Christ in the spiritual realm. And that is the reason the gospel was brought to us, and also the reason that we are asked to share the gospel with others. Peter starts off the next verse, and I know when Peter wrote this, there weren't verses, with the end of all things is near. All the New Testament writers considered the end times to be anything after Jesus' resurrection. So when I first read this, and in some of your Bibles, it actually breaks this section into a different part of, different paragraph, different heading, called End Time Ethics. And the one that I actually started this preparation of the sermon for didn't break it there. I don't believe that the pure question of this section of the text is when should suffering believers live for God. I think that answer's now. I believe that whenever Peter wrote this and said these are the end times, that he meant for his current audience to know that they should be living for God now. I believe that God, when he gave Peter this to write, believe that when we read this, the correct answer to when should we live for God, the answer is now. 200 years from now, someone reads this, the correct answer to when should you live for God will be now. The question is, how should we live for God? How should suffering believers live? By using their God-given gifts to serve others. So what does living for God look like? Let's see what Peter says next. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. What does living for God look like? Alert, sober-minded, prayerful, constant love for others, and hospitality with a small PS of no complaining. How should suffering believers live? The next passage is where we get the answer. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. We live for God by using the gifts He gives us to serve others in order to spread His grace in various ways. I'm going to read that portion again and then continue on. Just as each one has received a gift. Use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides. So, when we speak of God, we should allow Him to give us the words. When we serve for God, we should allow Him to give us the strength. Like the original audience, we believers have been called to obedience. And Peter gives us the reason next. So that although they might be judged by in the flesh, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So, what does this way of living for God look like? You guys probably didn't think that you were going to come to church today and have playing cards. This is not a magic trick, but I'm going to bring over these playing cards, a box of playing cards, and I'm going to ask you to take one card and then pass them back so that everybody ends up with the card. And Rob, if you'll start that box. Yeah, not your typical church prop here, I'm sure. And if I were to come up here and be typical, I think many of you would be surprised. So this is a deck of playing cards, or a little bit more than a deck of playing cards. And just so that you know and you're not looking for one in particular, I did remove the jokers. I thought we might have enough. The orchard has many opportunities for people to serve in one ministry or another. So in order to make sure we have all the duties covered, maybe we just should assign duties to individuals. Does everybody have a card? Have they made it back? Okay, so we're still waiting on the middle rows to make it back. And I may have some extras on the sides. You guys don't always sit in the same place. And so it's sort of hard to know how many cards to put in each stack. So let's see. How are we doing? We about have cards everywhere? Got a couple more cards back here in the back. There we go. Now, if you happen to be listening to this on podcast, I know you guys aren't, but if you happen to be at home and listening to this on podcast, at this point, I'd like you to just sort of imagine that you've taken a deck of cards and pulled out a card. So, Misty, would you? All right. So we're going to assign the duties to you guys. So you have your cards there. I hear some laughter going on. Well, let's for the benefit of the podcast, let's just read off a couple of these. If you have an ace, you're going to be responsible for preaching the next four Sundays. All right, Mel, go for it. Yeah, if you have tens, you're going to be responsible for door-to-door witnessing. I'm really curious about this one. Number eight, sing and worship team. How many of you guys have good voices? All right, Barb, yay. All right, and then we have, number four is, you know I'm interested in that one. Who's providing food for after service? All right, and number two's, clean the bathrooms. Well, at least one deacon got that. Good. So right now, some of you may be comfortable. I'm sorry, some of you are getting a little bit uncomfortable with what you might be assigned for. Some of you might actually be perfectly comfortable with what you've been assigned for. Some of you are wishing you didn't have an ace. Some of you are wishing you didn't have a two. I was trying to come up with a way to visualize living for God by using the gifts He gives us to spread His grace in various ways. But the strongest visual I could find was what would be the opposite. Or put another way, what would it look like if we attempted to spread His grace in various ways without using the gifts He gave us. This is a silly and somewhat ridiculous way of looking at it. Mister, you can take that down now. But maybe there is a more common, more believable way. We may have all done it this way in the past. Think about this possibility. I will serve God and the Orchard Church in the ministry of fill in the blank, because I think that is my gift, and I am comfortable doing it. And besides, I enjoy some of the recognition and feeling of accomplishment that I get from it. It was with purpose that I stressed the words I and mine. Peter is not telling us how to use our God-given gifts to serve ourselves. Instead, he is telling us how God wants us to use the gifts he gives us to serve others. What gift did God give you? And how does he want you to spread his grace? Are you his love for believers? Are you his love for all of creation? Are you his compassion? Are you his strength for others? His comfort? Are you a source of his peace? Are you his tool of friendship? Are you his tool for being in a relationship with God? Are you his words? Are you his guidance? We all have different God-given gifts, and we are all different. How should suffering believers live? By using their God-given gifts to serve others. We should live God first, others second, ourselves last. Let's pray. Lord, as we prepare to take communion, please let us reflect on how Jesus suffered for us, and how, too, we have been called to suffer. Please also open our ears, our minds, and our hearts so that we might hear what you are asking each of us individually to do for others with the gifts you have given us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.